Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360. On February 23rd, 2018, live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And joining us today as co-host and co-interviewer is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lips. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com, and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic. It's Friday. It's Friday.
Yes.
We all love Friday.
Yes.
So, you know, speaking of that whole short-term rental, you know, every time you say that, you go, improving the quality of our small businesses here. That's why, just to continue the discussion that you, Jackie, and Joe and I have had in the past, that's why I think the short-term rental issue is important for all of these small businesses. So,
now, tell us a little bit about that. What have we decided, or what's in the works?
We had a board, but the thing is now the chamber is going to endorse the issue of the short-term rentals. And we are drafting a letter. We're going to send it to City Council. The council is going to look at this issue again on March 6th. And, you know, the reason it was kind of postponed to March 6th is because Nancy Herzman, who is the one who brought up this issue that we should revisit this, was not at the last council meeting. She was sick, but she'll be there now. And she's also our council liaison on our board of directors. And so this past Wednesday, the board voted to endorse the short-term rentals in a modified fashion. In fact, with conditions, because I'll read one of the paragraphs that I've written. It's beyond the social impact to our citizens. After speaking to our local businesses, the Manhattan Beach Chamber believes the short-term rental ban has put our smaller retailers at a disadvantage in an already tough environment. Our small retailers make up the vast majority of our local businesses and give our community the small-town feel we all keep working to maintain. Now, with that said, our position is we'd like to endorse short-term rentals in Manhattan Beach with conditions. We believe this is a business and therefore subject to paying a transit occupancy tax known as the TOT, just as the hotels are required to do. A business license is mandatory, which would then register the operator with the city, so there is something on record that you're doing this. And we believe that code enforcement is a mandated priority so that a few poor performers do not ruin it for everybody else, which is what's happened in the past. We've got two or three homes,
right,
two or three places in the city, and they're the repeat offenders. And maybe the TOT, right, and our suggestion, maybe the TOT helps in hiring a code enforcement person to work weekends, paid through that through that revenue. So with those conditions, because we certainly don't want to just blatantly say, yeah, short-term rentals, you know, we have to be responsible about it. And from what I understand, I think El Segundo just voted positively for voted in short-term rentals with conditions as well. So it's beginning to happen. And, you know, also when you look at the monies that were lost after when we did that 100% ban on it to the city, that's one thing, that these cities, these small cities, that we need this revenue, because we've got, as you know, we're trying to find as much money as we can to prepare for this pension tsunami that's coming up in 5 years or 7 years. The other thing that we discovered with short-term rentals, or with the 30-day ban, or with the 30-day only, 30-day or beyond, did you know, and this was brought up at the last council meeting, did you know that if a person, you know, you can evict someone less than 30 days. You can say, you got to leave, you got to get out. If they're there 30 days, it's much harder to get someone to leave. You're now into having to hire a lawyer and all of this and evict and go through a whole eviction process and all of that. You don't have to. I mean, you can force them to leave. You can physically, you know, change the locks, do whatever you need to do prior 30 days. But anything 30 days or more, you now have due process. And that could create some real issues for people if you run into somebody. Like, well, one guy stated an example of a guy who refused to leave. He had rented it as a 30-day rental. And then he was basically tearing up the place. He, you know, wasn't keeping it in good shape. And the guy said, well, you know, I got, you know, I'm not going to renew this. And he just wouldn't leave, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy couldn't
now
get
how
him
does
out
this,
of there.
How does this tie in directly to short-term rentals?
Well, right now, most of what these cities have done is they say it's okay for 30 days or more to rent out a place. So you can rent a place for 30 days or 31 days or
two months
or 3 months, but you don't. It doesn't have to be a year lease or 6 months, but it has to be 30 days or more, and that's as short as they'll go is 30 days versus a week, 3 days, 4 days, whatever. And it's just that there are some law, you know, and this guy pointed out, a realtor pointed out, he said, man, you know, you get, when you hit 30 days, a whole new set of rules come into play.
It's like a month-to-month lease. It's a month-to-month lease.
And so, you know, those renters have certain rights, no matter how bad they are, they have those rights that you have to go through due process to get them out of there, whereas the short-term rentals, like a hotel, you know, you...
Now, Mark, one thing that hasn't been brought up yet, I mean, the thing that really I care about are property owners' rights. If I have a property that is not occupied and I don't want a long-term renter and I want to profit potentially from the beauty and the appreciation that people have for the South Bay, short-term rentals are very profitable. And as a property owner, I don't want, you know, Uncle Sam telling me what I can and can't do with my own property. Now, all other things aside, I mean, you have to register with the city. You have to have a business license. You obviously have to have rules that are, you know, you're nice to your neighbors. But short-term rentals are a real benefit to the property owner, and those are the
discussion. Can I speak to that? You know, it's interesting because you know, for all these years up until just, you know, a couple of years ago, property owners in Manhattan Beach could do as they liked. They could rent out their homes whenever they wanted. It's interesting.
Well, we had over 50, I think it was 56 homes registered with the city. The city was making close to $150,000 a year off the tax.
Okay. Jackie's going to complete her thought there.
And that's just the registered ones you know about,
right?
I'm sure there were others that weren't complying with the rules.
Absolutely.
But for many years, my husband and we had a home up in Mammoth Lakes, and we bought it on spec. It was a new subdivision. And we bought that house knowing that in that neighborhood, you were not allowed to rent out your home. No short-term rentals.
Right.
Same thing. And it was known, and we knew that going in, because they wanted to keep it residential. They didn't want it to become Party Central or anything. So we knew that going in. And that's the problem I've had with this all along, is that for hundreds of years now, or 100 years, people in Manhattan Beach have been renting out their homes. And it kind of ticks me off when the government comes in and says, hey, you can't do this anymore. And as you've pointed out many times, Mark, there are people that rely on that income to survive.
Oh, I get calls. They're afraid to call city council or the city because they feel like, well, I'll be outed. But I had a lady call just the other night, and she's just, you know, she needs the money. She's got two kids. She's in her house,
of
and
course.
It's East Manhattan, and you know, so she rents out a bedroom, and no problem, no issues.
Very profitable.
And this day and age, people jump to conclusions, and they seem to be making very quick decisions without a lot of thought going into it. It's happening all over the country. It's happening on local, regional, and national levels. So, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, you know what? We're gonna take a time out. We're gonna say no, don't do this for 30, 60, 90 days while we think about it and talk about it. So I'm really glad that the Manhattan Beach Council is revisiting this, because it is important. And not only that, you know, Joe pointed out it's a big moneymaker for people. And you got to remember, man, if the Olympics are coming in 2018, you know, what's going to happen is what happened in 1984. A lot of people didn't want to be here for it. And they rented their homes out at significant prices. And I'm sure that's going to happen again. So, you got to remember, the Olympics is a two-week event. It's a once every, if you're lucky, 40-year event. So you can't look at that and scream. But it's just something to think about, you know. So my two cents.
Yep. Nope. I mean, right now, if you wanted to go spend 2 weeks in Europe and to offset those costs, you know, rent out your place for 2 weeks, you can't do it. You know. And like I said, it's typically it's the same. Even city council and the police department has told us it's the same two homes.
Right. Yeah. Two people ruin it for everyone. I know life isn't fair, but that's just wrong.
And so there has to be strong enforcement.
Have you thought about, or have you been approached by any of the large companies involved in the short-term rental space? I mean, would Airbnb?
Oh yeah, Airbnb has already approached. They've talked to us at the chamber. They've met with me. They've met with some people on council, and met with the city. One of the things I told the Airbnb people, which they didn't do in 2015, is don't show up in force at our city council meetings handing out stickers to wear on your chest and things like flyers and stuff.
Right.
Listen, we're a little community. We like grassroots efforts. Just let us go up and make some noise. You guys can hang in the back and listen and all that. And if someone wants a corporate opinion from a short-term rental operator, then you're there to speak. But, if council needs that kind of information. But, you know, let's keep it on a community level and not look like some corporate thing is happening, you know. What happened with the last meeting in February, with the last council meeting. It was just like that, and it was great, you know. So I think in March 6th, we'll probably have a couple more naysayers, you know, there than we had before, because it's a little more out there now. But still, with conditions, it's a win, you know.
We need some widows at the front who are using this to pay their mortgage. This is ridiculous that a property owner can't rent out a back bedroom to a kid traveling to see a friend. This is just ridiculous.
So
not that I know any particular widows, but I'm Not happy.
Well, I'm a caterer's widow. So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
All right, guys. All right, guys. We got some very pertinent a topic.
Hey, may I bring up, since I have to leave early, may I bring up one other thing?
Oh, sure, sure.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. It won't take long.
Sure.
I just want to remind all of our listeners. I want to remind all of our listeners. We sent out an email blast yesterday, the day before, and we'll send out some more. But March 5th, very important seminar coming up. We call it Active Shooter, but it's all about how to prepare and how to be ready for domestic terrorism. I mean, and it's Jim Potts, who is a terrorist expert and who has done these presentations all up and down the city, state of California. He will be there doing a 90-minute presentation talking about not only active shooter situations like you had in Florida most recently, which
right.
is why we moved it up to March 5th, because we think we need this information now. It was originally scheduled April 12th, and it's at the Manhattan Beach Public Library. It's free to chamber members. I actually, Jackie, and you can put this in your newsletter, I actually sent a note to all the other chamber presidents nearby, Hawthorne and Hermosa, Redondo, Torrance, and El Segundo, that if their chamber members wanted to go, it would be free to them too.
Okay. I will make a note of that.
Yeah.
All right.
So anybody
all
who's a
area.
Member of the chambers here in the Beach Cities is welcome to attend. And if we have, but they should register at ManhattanBeachChamber.com because we have to get a head count because we can only hold so many people. And if we go over, 100 people or so, we'll have to move the location, which is okay. We'll do that.
Right.
But we need to know pretty quickly how many people plan to attend. And so it's
all
important
right.
they register.
I will put that information out there.
But it's going to be a really important seminar. So.
Yes, very important. Very important.
There you go. Thank you.
All right. Now, another thing that's really important, a lot of small businesses struggle with their relationship with computers. It's one of those rocky relationships where you know you have to have a relationship, but it doesn't always go smoothly, and especially when you're bringing on employees and you're doing marketing and other things that technology allows and is very important to a small business, it just is a time suck. And if there only was a solution that provided various kinds of services in the IT world that we could talk to, Jackie. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Jordan Alcott, founder, CTO, and managing partner of Alcott Enterprises. Founded in 2014, Alcott Enterprises is an information technology service firm that provides 24/7 IT solutions and support to small and medium-sized businesses throughout the South Bay and greater Los Angeles area. Now, Jordan grew up in Torrance, and he has over 15 years of industry experience. He has led organizations focused on building and implementing current best practices in cloud computing, mobile technology, cloud networking, and other IT functions across all industries. Jordan's experience covers working with startups to Fortune 500 companies and supports a range of clients requiring HIPAA, FedRAMP, ITAR, NIST, PCI, and or SOX compliance. Now, I have no idea what any of those acronyms mean, but I'm hoping Jordan will enlighten me as we learn more about Alcott Enterprises. Welcome to the program, Jordan. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yes, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So, as I alluded to, Jordan, I mean, this is an area, a topic that many small businesses are, just struggling with, continue to struggle with. There are a number of solutions that have been, in the marketplace. Of course, the larger Geek Squad kind of services that provide hardware support and some limited software support, but they don't really provide the total package. And I actually was involved with a great company that does provide local support, but you need you need a holistic view. So talk a little bit about that. We're gonna find out more about your history, but I want to see your global vision first for what Alcott Enterprises can do for a small business.
Sure. So I think you're pretty spot on where small businesses sometimes tend to struggle a little bit, and folks are used to a lot of the consumer aspects of technology where, you know, if something goes wrong, it's kind of okay. You figure it out at home and it takes some time. But when it comes to a small and medium-sized business, when your technology stops working, you stop working. And what happens? You can't communicate with customers and all of a sudden your technology is not working. You're not scheduling meetings, things like that. And ultimately your bottom line is affected, right? And so for us, I started this company back in 2014 because we started to recognize that small and medium-sized businesses were relying more and more on technology. And when things started to go wrong, they really didn't know who to turn to. So for us, we started looking at the community and the market and saying, how can we provide this full service? Because if folks have worked for larger companies, you're used to just calling an IT department and they'll take care of everything for you. Well, small and medium-sized businesses don't have that luxury. And part of what we want to provide is that full service. So where we can, hey, my email's not syncing up or my password, I forgot it. Even the little things to the much larger, we need to build a network. We're expanding our office. We provide that type of service, one, from an advisory perspective, and two, from a very 24/7 type of support, because every business has their own unique needs. So we have some customers that need to call us at 3 in the morning because they run 24/7, and we have other clients that necessarily don't have that type of demanding of a need. But we service them to help make sure that their business is going, because the reality is, if your business is down, your technology is down, you stop making money. So
Right.
Well, I'm a perfect example, by the way. I don't know if did I tell you guys? Well, no, you guys may have been the recipient of some of that last week.
Yes. I got an attachment from you in a message.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, this doesn't look right. Doesn't look
right.
I'm still getting
people emailing in, Mark, what is this? Blah blah blah. And it's all because and Jordan thinks it's I opened a document that I shouldn't have. It very well could have been. And you know, and that's when in doubt, throw it out. Call up the person, just like these people did. Hey, is this something you just sent me? What should I do? But I tell you, whatever I did, whatever happened, whoever got into me, I think Russia maybe, it cost me, I mean, Jordan had to come in here, the time, you know, if you put a value on your time, the amount of time I had to spend, and we're just a little business here, right? Amount of time I had to spend responding to emails, changing all the passwords. Jordan took my computer out of the office, spent a weekend working on it and cleaning it and wiping it clean just to make sure it never happens again. And this was with, by the way, imagine if we didn't have some of the security protocols that Jordan has implemented already, his company. What would have happened? I mean, this is spam. This is spam. This is just not being smart. And so, you know, you've got to have somebody like Jordan, a consultant, somebody that you can rely on to say, hey, who will tell you, oh, okay, guys, got to change all your passwords. It's time, you know, or, you know, I got to look at your computers and let me do an analysis and all of that. Because I'm telling you, ounce of prevention will save you so much time and effort. I mean, unbelievable. I had 2 days solid of dealing with these emails, and then now they're still coming sporadically, but that was 2 days that I'll never get that time back.
Wow.
And that's very
so that's,
true, Mark. Ounce of prevention.
Well, Jordan, I want to give also the listeners a sense of where you come from, where the company has come from. What were you doing before you started Alcott Enterprises?
So I've been in IT for, 15 plus years. And for me, I started out small. IT for me started as a hobby in high school, and helping, you know, folks around the house, helping friends, families, everything else like that. And it's transitioned into a career for me. And I've really led IT teams, started out in the Fortune 500 space locally in El Segundo with DirecTV. And from there, my career in IT took off. And from there, I moved to what we call a larger managed service provider, which is a larger IT firm that focuses really on the larger 10,000 employee type of space. Worked with them for a few years. After that, I dabbled in the biotech industry, and I led their IT department for a biotech company in the Midwest. And for me, you know, the South Bay is home. So I've always been helping small businesses on the side. For me, it was a very kind of Friday night, Saturday afternoon type of project. And as this started to grow and grow, for me, it became more and more obvious that small and medium-sized businesses needed more than just one-off type of help. They needed ongoing help. You know, they needed somebody monitoring and watching their back. And for me, that's how it's really transitioned into building this consulting firm to really help the local businesses.
Fantastic.
So,
well, that's certainly local businesses need that need, Jackie.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I know for many, many years, I depended on the local kid down the street that knew computers, you know, to come in and help me with stuff, you know, and it was hit or miss, you know, if sometimes I could reach him, sometimes I couldn't, you know, sometimes, you know, and this is, you know, I'm talking about my personal computer, of course, because this was quite a while ago. But even and now, actually, I have a company that I hired several years ago to handle all of my SEO and all that stuff. And they also have computer techs that handle my, you know, the hardware and software aspects of it. So, which is, you know, so much easier than having to depend on the computer kid down the street, you know.
And that's very common.
Yeah. But you know something, anything that is not work related, generally hardware. When things start to get, because Jordan, I have to get a new laptop like every 3 years for me, because I'm on it all day long. I use all sorts of programs and apps and stuff, and about every 3 years things start to go squirrely on me, and every 3 years. No, Joe knows this.
I know. It's crazy. Strange.
I don't like to wait until the blue screen of death shows up. You know, when I see things starting to go squirrely, I'll be like, okay, it's almost time. And last year, my husband surprised me. He not only bought me a laptop with everything I want, the way I want it, he took 2 or 3 days to set the whole thing up for me and transfer all my information.
Yeah.
That's a great
husband right there.
It is. And he's gotten much better at it. I was wrong. In the past, it would take him 2 or 3 days to transfer all my files and everything. This time he did it in less than a day. Cause he found some new software or something, but I couldn't believe it. He gave it to me. He said, it's all set up, all ready to go. I was like, oh my God, you know, I mean, this is important stuff to remember when you're thinking about marrying somebody. That's all I'm saying.
Very true. Very true. Very true. Well, I mean, your position on the kids down the street helping you initially, it's very true with small businesses,
that was you.
Right? And small businesses.
Was that you? Was that you, Jordan? You were the kid down the street.
That was definitely me. I was definitely a kid down the street doing it and helping, you know, family, friends, and helping them through the blue screen of death, which is funny. Most people don't know that that's the official name for that screen, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's B-side. Actually,
I didn't know
real
that.
Name.
I did not. I did not know that.
Yeah. So for me, that's how it really spawned. It's starting to help people in small businesses with, you know, migrating from being that kid down the street into a full time service, because, you know, you value what your husband did for you personally, right? And there's that value associated to it just working and not skipping a beat. And that's really what we want to provide to businesses, because, you know, the value to you that your husband is fantastic, but think about what that can do for your business where you just pick up and go, right? You're not missing time. You're not spending days remediating emails like Mark had to the other day to systems just working, right? And that's really what we want to be. We joke that we're like the Wizard of Oz. We want to be the wizard behind the curtain where just everything works, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, there is nothing worse. There is nothing worse than sitting there working, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong. And it's like it stops you dead in your tracks. We've all been talking about how much time you lose trying to fix it. Honest to God, I don't know if in this day and age there's anything more important. I mean, outside of personal health and welfare, having your computer up and running, there's nothing more important.
Right. And the way that we I joke sometimes and I say IT and what we do, we're looked at like a utility. You look at us sometimes like the power company.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You see the trucks running around on the street. You see them working on the poles. You see them out and around and you pay the bill every month. But you don't really ever notice them until you come home one day from work and you go to turn on your hallway light and it doesn't go on. Right. So. For us, we want to, when you see us running around and doing work, we're making it work and continue for you, right? Where if you go to flip on your switch and your lights don't go on, that means something went really wrong. So when your technology stops, you need somebody to call.
Oh, by the way, as a plug, a shameless plug for one of our chamber members here, Alcott Enterprises, I got to tell you, everybody here has Jordan on speed dial. I don't know how he works with anybody else, but I mean, if our computers even just glitch, I mean, or just, you know, if the screen's dirty, we go, somebody call Jordan. You know, and I got to tell you, and he comes over here and he goes, Mark, your screen's dirty. Let me get that for you. You know, and it's like, and some of it's just, you know, like, you know, he's rolling his eyes and, you know,
yeah.
How about you turn it on or press the on switch in your strip plug thing down there?
Why don't you plug in your power cord? Yeah, that
would
be good.
Right.
That's usually our first question.
Right.
Is it plugged in?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Jordan, I got to tell you something funny. I swear
but
to God.
But he's awesome. By the way, though, to finish the comment, he is awesome. He never gives us any attitude. He comes right over. Also, the cool thing about technology today, which is kind of freaky, but he can do it from his place. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess everybody can. But what's cool is he goes, well, let me get into your computer. And all of a sudden, I'll see a mouse moving around my computer,
right.
And, you know, a
right.
cursor,
right.
And he's in my computer going, well, let's check this. He went,
right.
Holy macro, man. This is crazy. You know, so.
So Jordan, for remote access, what tool do you use?
So
what
we
tool
have our
do
own
in-house
product. It's called AE Connect that we use. And it's a product that during our onboarding process and when we work with our clients, we install and download onto their computer. So it's a secure connection between our resources and your resources. And part of the reason why we do that is because there are a lot of things that can be fixed remotely that will take maybe 5-10 minutes away from your time.
Most
rather than,
things.
Say, a couple hours.
Yeah.
Right?
And,
so
and,
for
and
us,
it's such a time saver.
Defense.
Such a time saver. I mean, I don't have to wait for him to drive over, you know.
So, yeah, no,
hey,
no.
You guys, I got to take off for this meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well,
all right,
Jordan,
Mark.
We love you.
Thank you, sir.
And keep taking our calls.
So, anything for you, Mark.
Jackie,
thank you.
Joe, happy Friday, and
thank you.
I love you guys
thank
too.
Thank you, Mark.
And I'll talk
to you
later. Bye bye.
Have a great weekend.
We'll
have a great
soon.
Weekend.
Thank you.
Now, Jordan,
President
go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, go on, Jackie.
Well,
I'm going to say goodbye, Mark Phipps, President and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. All right.
There you go. There you go. So, Jordan, I swear I'm not kidding about this. Last week, I was on my computer and I was watching a video or I was trying to watch a video, and because we do this show, I have a headset with it plugs in. All right. I don't do anything wireless because wireless causes issues for us with this show sometimes. So everything I have is not wireless, right? Everything's, you know, hardline. And I'm trying to watch this video and I'm hitting the volume button and my volume's up and I'm like, I'm not hearing anything. And I unplug the headset and, you know, and I'm putting my ear to the speaker and I'm like, why am I not? And, you know, I'm fiddling with this literally for 10 minutes before my husband walks in. He goes, what's the matter? I said, I'm not getting any volume. And he looks at my keyboard and he goes, because the volume button is off.
It's on mute.
Yeah. There's I have a button up on F6 on my computer.
Yep.
It's a volume mute button, which I never use. I use the volume up and down, you know, high and low, but I never use. And there was this little button there, and I didn't even notice. And he walked over. He said, "Your volume's off." You know, so I just spent 10 minutes because the volume was muted. You know, and this is me, somebody who actually spends quite a bit of time with the computer, and it happens to me all the time. So,
things like that are pretty common, but 10 minutes of your day, right there, that you've lost, right? And there are companies where 10 minutes mean a lot, right? I mean, we work with some healthcare companies. 10 minutes in the healthcare world that's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, listen, Jordan, let me ask you something, because as you said, you're 24/7 IT support and you're working with the smaller and the medium companies. Now, a lot of small and medium companies like my own, you know, we're wary about taking on the added expense, because I'm assuming that you're probably set up on a monthly type of thing. It's not you can't just call you and go run into places and they'll pay you for the one-time thing. It's a contract thing, I imagine. Yes.
Yes. So we typically work on a subscription-based service, and the thing for us and really what makes us different is we do it on a user basis, not on a device basis. So if you think about your common work area, right? You have your desk phone, you have your computer, you may have a printer. You may have your smartphone, a tablet, right? Where other companies will actually charge you per device to manage and
really?
For you, and we charge per seat. So it's really on us to know how to work your phone system, to manage your smartphone for you, to manage your computer and your systems and everything behind. So for us, it's really what we try to say. It's the all-inclusive model. It's like, do you want to go all-inclusive resort, or do you want to, you know, still pay for your drinks at the bar while you're at the resort? Type of thing. And for us, you know, the easiest and, you know, peace of mind for you is really that monthly service. We do work either on a project basis, which is really your one-off type of thing. If you want, hey, I'm expanding my office space, I need a network set up, right? But we also do work on an hourly basis, very much like a mechanic would for you. But the thing is, if we're not managing your environment for you, you're not part of the subscription, part of that time is figuring out what the issue is, how much it's impacting your environment, and then remediating the issue. So for us, that's where we say, hey, for peace of mind, most of the work and stuff that we do is proactive. And when you have our monthly service, after a few months, all of a sudden you go, I haven't really had any technology issues in several weeks or anything. And that's really where the benefit to us is, and the benefit to you, because it's really a partnership. The more that we can help you, the more your business runs and the more you grow, which is why our model, we want to make sure that if you add somebody, we grow with you. If you happen to move the other direction, we move with you that way as well. So for us, it's really a partnership. Like I said, we want to be that go-to person and that go-to help when you need it. And that's really what we're here for.
Well, yeah, as Mark was just saying, you know, everybody in his office has you on speed dial for any little thing that goes wrong. Let me ask you something. You just mentioned that you were proactive. So does that mean that, like, on some sort of a basis, weekly, monthly, every 6 months or every quarterly or whatever? So do you remotely do stuff like, you know, what happens is every so often I'll say to my husband, can you do that thing you do with my computer, meaning he'll come in, he'll clean it, he'll run virus protection, you know, he does a bunch of stuff. So as part of your service and as a part of knowing your client's system and how it functions, so do you remotely keep up with things like virus protection?
Yep. So part of what we do, and we can use the chamber, for example. So we manage everything from their security to their network to the Windows updates on their computers, right, to the Windows login. So
part of what happens
is, you know, we will actually keep their systems up to date. We'll make sure, for example, and a lot of the work that we do for updates and patches and things like that, they're done at night, actually. We do them at 2-3 in the morning so it doesn't impact your business, right? Because whenever we do updates, there is a small, tiny chance that it may actually affect your business. So then we'd have to roll it back, which is why we do it at, you know, at 3 in the morning to minimize impact. So for us, being proactive and making sure that you're up to date, making sure that your systems are really what I like to say, right and tight. We just want to make sure that you guys are working properly, because those little types of preparations, like staying up to date with Windows and updating your antivirus, they can go a long, long way. And from there, we can actually show you on a monthly basis what your traffic looks like, what malicious activity you've had. Because remember, not everything is malicious, but it may have malicious intent. And differentiating between the two is really the biggest thing, and that's where our proactive support can come in. So in Mark's case, he went, hey, what's going on here? And we were already ahead of the game by the time he called us. So.
Wow.
Very good.
Another show for you to geek out on, Joe. Another show for you to geek out on.
I'm very interested in looking at your website, AlcottEnterprises.com, with two T's, AlcottEnterprises.com. Yes. You do marketing and advertising as well. Tell us a little bit about that side of the business. You got the technology running, but now you're going to provide also marketing and advertising. Talk about that.
So we found as well that small, medium-sized businesses don't necessarily have the marketing agency that they want. Not saying that we're a large agency by any means or work on the agency model. What we found is that the digital marketing space and the technology space are crossing more and more. Jackie, you already touched on SEO earlier today, right? And type of service very much crosses with your website management, your internal systems, your email. So typically what happens is the other department that IT talks to the most is really your external marketing team to say, hey, we're going to put something out. Here's where we are from a digital perspective. So one of my business partners, she came from the digital marketing space, the social media space. And for her, it was just the right fit of it's a great 1-2 punch. And we have some clients that need help with both, that we help augment what they have, or, you know, we have some that are just marketing and others that are just technology. So for us, we want to help provide those larger services at a very cost-effective price for those small businesses.
Excellent.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and well, no,
we
want to
hear.
It's definitely crossing paths, technology and marketing. I mean, that's what I'm all about, you know, at this point. It's amazing. It is. It's just it's amazing how things have changed, you know, over the years, you know. It's interesting because there are a couple of South Bay cities that are having elections in June. And I actually have somebody, I have one of the candidates that is that will be advertising with me starting next month, starting in March. Because as we all know, you get the, you know, and as I said, in the next month or two, we're all going to be bombarded with flyers, you know, for all the different candidates. And what do you do with those flyers when you see them, Joe, when you open your mail each day? And what do you do with them?
They make great liners for my recycling bin.
Yeah. It goes. They go right in the recycling bin. So it's interesting how all of that is changing. You know, I mean, you can't throw away a digital ad. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, and the thing with digital ads is that you can target them better.
Right.
With a mail flyer, yes, you can do it's on that mail route and geographically, but with digital, you can begin to target, say, an age group if that's really what you're looking for, right? And that's the benefit, and this is where the technology side comes in, because you know, the technology behind it is already creating, say, a profile on the type of advertisements that you tend to click on and things like that, and that's how companies are able to target their market a little bit better, right? And that's where they tend to cross paths, because if you have good SEO, you have a good advertising base, and you have the technology behind, you're able to specifically target down to gender, age, geographic region, things that the traditional, say, mail flyers may not be able to do for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Jordan, I'm gonna go completely off topic here. This is something I find very, very annoying about digital ads. I remember when Amazon first started, all right, and they were just selling books, and I was like, wow, this is great. I'm a reader. I'm a huge reader, and when Amazon first started, I thought this is the most exciting thing. So I went online and I ordered, a few books, and I got them. And they started making recommendations to me. So, say, for instance, I bought a trashy romance novel. For the next 3 months, under my preferences are a bunch of trashy romance novels. Or if I bought a biography of a politician, for the next 3 months, all I would be getting suggestions. They would be all political stuff.
Remarketing.
And you know something? It didn't work, because I don't read like that. So I stopped it. I stopped using Amazon to buy books. I prefer to go into the bookstore, browse what's here, browse the different sections. They were only recommending the same thing over and over. Now, fast forward to last week. Oh, God, that had to be 15 years ago, right? Amazon? 15, 20 years ago? I can't even remember.
15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. So fast forward to last week. I ordered a pair of gingham slides online, all right? It's a shoe, all right? I ordered a pair of them.
Yeah.
All I am getting in my advertising online is gingham and slides. Now, I'm not going out to buy another pair of gingham slides. I have them. Why are they showing me the same thing over and over? Something has to, you know, if somebody wants to take something and run with it, go and design something that doesn't do that. Because once you buy your refrigerator, you don't need to look at ads for the next 3 weeks on refrigerators. You know what I mean? Does that happen to anybody else, or is it just me?
It's very common, right? It's upselling, right? So they're hoping that you bought a pair of black shoes, that you love them so much that you want to get them in brown now. Right. And that's really what they're trying to accomplish with you. And it comes back to target marketing. Like, they're not going to, if you're buying sandals, for example, they may not show you a pair of Nike Air Jordans. Right. They want to stay within that type of area, that same topic. And that's how they begin to target individuals and begin to upsell more than anything else. And a lot of that is driven by your Google searches, whether it's Bing, Yahoo, or whoever you use.
Because
all the keywords are tracked, and each keyword is ranked based on how often it's used in internet searches. And that's really what drives those. They're really Google ads that you're seeing, say, on the right-hand
right.
side or at the bottom
right.
of pages.
Right.
Those
yes.
are driven by your Google history. And this is where it crosses over with the technology side, because it's tracked based on your device, you know, what type of browser you were using, where you were searching it from, meaning physical location, right? And that's where the two paths kind of interact with each other. So if you're getting those types of targets, ads, that means your search bases are, say, maybe about shoes a lot, right? And sure, you already purchased that one shoe that you like, but in those types of examples, they know maybe you're going to buy two or three more pairs of shoes in the next coming months. So, you know, the large appliances, obviously, I mean, how often do you buy a refrigerator, right?
Right.
That may not be the best example, but, you know, your smaller type of commodity shoes may be a decent example.
Yeah, no, it's just it's one of my pet peeves that really it annoys me to no end. It's like, I already have the shoes. I'm not buying another pair of gingham slides. It's not going to happen. But that's all the advertising I'm getting. So I was just curious about that. I would imagine somebody's gonna come up with an algorithm that will fix that. But it could, you know, maybe you'll do it. Maybe you'll be the
maybe.
No, I just, you know, I don't know if that bothers anybody else.
Well,
you know?
I mean, advertisements and pop-ups definitely are annoying, right? I mean, getting a lot of advertisements and pop-ups is usually the first sign that something may not be right within your systems, right? So there is a very fine line of being what we call banner blind, which is where you're just so blind to seeing so many advertisements, and then actually having a receptive response to what you're seeing. And that's really where if they bombard you with advertisements about shoes, you're going to get the same reaction that you're seeing right now, which is, I'm not buying any more shoes.
Yeah.
So that's what the advertisers need to be very conscious about sometimes when they're deciding to run ad campaigns. Is we want to make sure that we don't bombard and we turn off really the potential customer.
Yeah. No, those pop-up things that take over the page are the most annoying of all. But no, I'm just talking about the, you know, when you're online, when you're Google searching or something and you see ads on the side or along the top and stuff. And it's just, anyway. So, okay. All right. That's just my pet peeve for the week. My pet peeve for the week, Joe.
Okay. All right. Now, Jordan, we have a number of hot topics in the technology world. So I just want to hit you with one that's near and dear to my heart. I have a company called Masternode Consulting. I'm actually a cryptocurrency consultant. And we, you know, field lots of questions about cryptocurrency. Is that something that your clients ask you about?
I love cryptocurrency personally. From a business perspective, we do get asked about it. It's one of those things where we can give you a very unofficial opinion about it, rather than a recommendation or an advisement, right? Because we do have our clients come to us and say, "Is it secure? Do you think we should do it?" And I can tell you from a technology perspective, the blockchain model is very secure. What the factor is behind it, of who's operating it, obviously there's a human factor. There's always a human factor in technology. And cryptocurrency, it's very much in the ad world, we say it's a buzzword, right? And for me, I'm okay taking a risk, spending a little bit more to get into it. You know, for me, I personally, I'd want the market to sustain a little bit before I ride a larger wave, if that makes sense. So cryptocurrency, from a technology perspective, it's pretty cutting edge. It's revolutionary. Investing in cryptocurrency is definitely for those folks that are willing to take a little bit more risk.
Right. Okay. Good. I just wanted to find out what your normal response would be to your customers. It's a hot topic. And what other hot topics are there, Jordan, in the technology space? What are people most concerned about or asking you about beyond the normal, hey, my computer doesn't work, or I've got spam or a virus potentially?
Well, the biggest topic that we continue to see is cybersecurity. It's really growing. The unfortunate thing is that most businesses will actually experience a cyber incident before they would a fire or a flood. You're more than likely now, which is it's kind of disheartening at times to know that there are more people out there trying to be harmful than good, right? And the thing that most people also don't know about cyber attacks, especially in the small and medium space, is that 71% of all cyber attacks in the U.S. occur in companies that have fewer than 100 employees. And it's a scary thing to think about, especially when you know a lot of small businesses, a lot of friends, to know that potentially one-third of them could have a cyber incident. And there's some words that we have to be very conscious about when we talk about cybersecurity. Because certain words have different implications and people jump immediately to conclusions. A cyber incident may mean a small, isolated spam attempt or entry where an intrusion or the word breach imply security, data loss, personal information. So, you know, everybody here in the news hears about Equifax, Target. I mean, the list goes and you hear about these Fortune 500 companies and you don't hear about the small companies when the small companies are actually the largest majority of these attacks. And part of what happens is with cybersecurity in small businesses, there's a mentality of, why are they going to pay attention to me? I'm just a small business here in the South Bay. Well, the mindset of the other side of the table, meaning the hacker or the malicious person, they recognize that you don't have the systems in place that you would have at, say, a larger company to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's a very hot topic. I mean, Mark experienced a very entry-level type of security incident that was very containable mm-hmm. and easy to manage, but it still took away his, you know, 2 days of dealing with the issue. And, mm-hmm. I mean, that's where small businesses go, I don't know. You know, one of the other issues is what's called ransomware. And ransomware is where you get maybe an email or you download a type of program, and what it does is it locks your computer. It encrypts everything and basically holds it for ransom. And you have to pay the hacker or the intruder to get your systems back. Well, There was a very funny story and case study that happened to a police department in Maine. They actually had a ransomware attack. The police department.
Oh,
well,
boy.
They were sitting here going, we're the police. Where do we go? Who do we like? And what did they end up doing? They ended up paying the ransom in order to get their systems back. But I mean, cybersecurity, it's affecting everybody, regardless of whether you're a two-person company or you're a 10,000-person company. And it's not just happening on a personal level. It's happening on a business level, small, medium, you name it. It's not a fun world to be in.
You know, Joe, I am so sorry we didn't get to this earlier, because this is really interesting, important stuff. So, Jordan, we're going to have you back one of these days, because we are running out of time here. But yeah, we'll have you back on one of these days just to talk about cybersecurity, because we were getting worked up in all the other, you know, we went off on all these other tangents, but that is a big, big one. And your company can obviously help a lot of the businesses here in the South Bay.
Right.
Yeah, and
right.
We're excited. So I'd be happy back for sure.
Thank you, Jordan. Jordan, give us your contact information, website, phone number, all that.
Yeah, sure. I'll be happy to share that. And guys, this has been a pleasure. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
No, I mean now, verbally, Jordan, give me your contact information, website, and all that.
Sure. So our website is Alcott Enterprises. That's ALCOTT Enterprises.com. And then our phone number is 310-362-7400.
Excellent. And you're located here here in the South Bay.
Yep.
All right, okay.
Yep.
All right.
We're based in Torrance and we're we're happy to help.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, and of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
What a great show. And that's our week, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next week. And we hope you all will stay safe and keep your computer safe and have a great weekend. All righty. Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.